But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into the word today, and I'm excited for what God's got. So why don't you pray with me? Oh, thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, God, for the beautiful time we've already had in your presence. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this special day, Family Sunday, Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. God, I thank you as we come to your word now. Lord, Holy Spirit, just speak through me. I thank you, God, that this is not my words, but it's your words. Give clarity, give understanding, Lord, give direction. I thank you this morning that we can grow in you, that we have hearts open, ready to grow, ready to learn for all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can everyone say amen? Amen. I've messed up the system. The media team have a special speaking mic, and I've jumped the gun and taken this mic. So I'm sorry, team. That's just one of the ways our creative team are awesome in flowing with it when people like myself take the wrong mic. But I'm excited for what we've got today. And we're just going to let the Holy Spirit flow today with what he's got today. So today, like we said, it's pastor's appreciation. We want to stop and acknowledge our pastors today. They don't ask for it. They say, no, you know, you don't have to do that. But we want to, and we believe in it. We believe in stopping and acknowledging and thanking them for what they do, thanking them for leading the charge, for being our leaders, for being the ones at the forefront. You know, as leaders, you know, it's a tough job. I remember there was a time when I'd been, you know, put into an area of leadership, and it came to a decision we had to make. And I just remember just feeling sick over it, because it was like in this decision, it felt like there was no right way. No matter which way I went, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm going to be hurting somebody no matter which decision I make here. And that just gave me a small glimpse into people who are leaders and having to do that kind of thing all the time, make the decisions that are tough. Be there, you know, through the hurt. Stand up, you know, when there's challenges. Be there every time. Keep standing up, persevering in faith, showing love, showing grace, vision for what God's got. And we are so excited and we're so blessed, to have such incredible pastors. But today, I want to preach just for a few minutes. And what God put on our heart as we're preparing for this service, you know, I love, like we said a little bit before, that we're not a church that have leaders, you know, it's like not like a top-down. You know, there's a lot of organizations that the person at the top makes all the decisions and it just keeps flowing down the way. And there's top-down leadership. I studied management at university, and that was a very common, you know, management trait where it's like the top hierarchy down. But I love that our pastors, that's not their heart. Their heart, I almost see it like it's like a hierarchy but flipped, where they're at the base and their heart is to launch. Their heart is not to lead or control or direct. Their heart is to lead the charge, but to launch people, to say, hey, we're back. We want to launch and empower people to be all that God's called them to be, to go into all the world, to say we want to release and relaunch people to fulfill the calling of God in their life. You know, our pastors so strongly often say it's not, you know, the church is the people. The church is the people. So the people that we've got, that's our church. That's what we're doing. They, you know, the question is, what does your church do? He said, what Pastor Peter would say, we'll see what our people are doing. That's what the church is doing. You know, does your church have a ministry, you know, in this area? Well, we've got people in it, that area. Yes, we do, because the church is the people. And they love empowering and launching and saying what God's got for us. And what God put on our heart for this service is we were so excited to say that as a church, you know, our pastors have great vision for what God's taken them and where God's taken the church. We've had prophetic words. They've had vision for what God's doing and breakthrough. But what we love, that it's not them just saying, we say, hey, yeah, God, you've given them great vision. You've given them a great vision for the church. And we're saying, yeah, go for it, Pastor Pete and Christine. We gotcha. Go for it. You know, we'll be here every Sunday, you know, 10 to 12 at a push. If you could do it 11:45 would be nice, but we'll be here. You go for it. You go release that vision. You go chase after it. What it is we're not, and I love that that's not the heart of this church. We're not just saying, yes, Pastor Peter and Christine, that's the vision. We're saying breakthrough, the call of God on breakthrough is our vision. That's what God's called us to do. That's what God's called us to be, to take that vision and say, we're making it our own, and we run with it, and we charge after it, and we take it, and we say, God, we pray for it, and we intercede for it, and we are a part of seeing that fulfilled. We don't look back, and we don't just say, yep, go for it. Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Good job. I'll offer critique and criticism or advice when I think you need it. And we just say, go for it. We say, no. God, what have you called this church to be? I want to be part of it. I want to be right in the middle and saying, Lord, I want to make it my vision. Oh God, I want you to give me your vision for this church so we can run with it. So we can run with it together. And you know, you might say, how can we show appreciation to our pastors? We do things like what we're doing today. But the greatest support and appreciation a pastor can have is with a church that is running with the vision of the church, a church that takes the mandate of what God has put on their church and say, we are running with it and we are making it our own and we are a part of it. We're not bystanders. We don't just watch. We take it and we run with it, because what God can do through the church is what God, it's completely dependent on what God can do through the people. It's what the people say, God, I'm opening myself and say, Lord, work through me, work through me. That's how God can minister through breakthrough. It's through the people and saying, as we are coming, saying, Lord, you make me a part of it. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of this call. You know, I was saying to our team earlier this morning that you hear so many times in movies or books, people say things like, oh, I just want my life to be meaningful. I just want to be part of something bigger and greater than me. You know, it's somebody, maybe it's a character that's going through an identity crisis, and it's sort of that point in the movie where they're just contemplating and they say something really noble, like, I want to be part of something that's meaningful. I want to be part of something bigger than myself. You know, and then, you know, like I said to the team, spoiler alert, the rest of the movie is going to be them becoming a part of something bigger than themselves and some big meaningful vision. And that's the rest of the movie. But I was saying, but you know what the great thing about being a part of God's kingdom is? You are part of something bigger. You're a part of something greater. And like we said to our team, that the reason I think that's in so many movies or books that you read is because that's what we were made to do. God created in us. God created us to be part of bringing his kingdom to the world. God created us to be part of the bigger picture, to be part of God's work. So people who don't know God, their spirits are still craving it, because that's what they were created to do. So they're craving to do it. So they're just looking for it in all the wrong ways. You know, they're looking for ways to be part of something bigger and greater because they know that's what they were called to do. But they just don't know where to look for it or what to do. But when we're in God's kingdom, we know we were put on this earth to be part of something bigger. I wasn't put on this earth to live a selfish life and to just go after me, 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 me. I was put on this earth to say, to be your vessel, God, to be part of building your kingdom, to be part of bringing your kingdom and restoration to the world. I'm on this earth to be part of something so magnificent and a story so much greater than mine, but a story that's God's story. You know, but it's not just that. It's not just us being a part of a God story. When we're called to a church, it goes that step further. It's to be part of your church's story. It's to be part of breakthrough story. It's to say, you know what? I get to be part of what God is doing. It's exciting. It's an empowerment. It's an opportunity. It says, I get to be part. You know, this church is called to disciple. At its very core, we are called to disciple. We are here for the hungry and the hurting. We are called to disciple, to be disciples of Jesus, not to just make disciples, but to be discipling ourselves, to constantly be growing in Jesus, to bring others into this discipling process where we are becoming disciples of Jesus and more like him, and going out and reaching others and bringing them into this process of becoming disciples of Jesus. We get to be part of that, church. I get to be part of that. I don't just get to come and show up on a Sunday and sit down and go, yep, that's great, I'm going to go home. I get to be part of this process of this story of what God is doing. I get to be part of the story of breakthrough. I get to be part of where God is taking us. And I love that our church is hungry for that. You know, you might be joining us today. This might be the first time you've stepped in breakthrough. Well, I want to say thank you for joining us. And, you know, you can be part of this story. I love that, whether it's this is your church or you belong to another church and you're part of that story. But we're all part of that God's story. We're all part of building the kingdom. We're all part of bringing his kingdom to the world. We're all part of where we've all got a role in bringing God's kingdom to the bringing the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness, bringing the kingdom of light into this world. We're all part of that story. So we're excited. That is our heart. So today I'm just going to go through a few different points very quickly to say that's our heart. We're hungry. We're hungry to be part of the story. We're hungry to say, what is the vision? God gives it through, our pastors. Without leaders, there will be chaos. There's leaders there for a reason so that God can filter through the vision of where God's taking us through there. But we're to say, hey, we're taking it and we want to run with it. And we want to run with that vision. We want to be part of what God is doing, part of the story, part of where God's taking this church. Our pastor has been preaching an amazing series called The Turning Point. If you haven't heard, amen. If you haven't heard any, please go back. It's on YouTube. It's on all the places you can, on podcasts, anywhere you can get sermons and podcasts, it's there. Go and have a look. The other day I just had all of his Turning Point series on a loop, just going throughout my day, just filling my spirit, being so energized and encouraged by the concept of a turning point where we stop and say, we are making a turning point moment. I'm making a moment where I stop and turn around and give this to God. And I want to encourage us today as a church that in this past part of Pastor's Appreciation, we're saying as a church, we're excited for where God's got us. And we're having a moment where I want to build my faith and take a moment where I say, yes, I'm taking this and I'm running with it. I'm running with it. God, I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to be part of this future and the story of breakthrough. I believe by faith, breakthrough's best days are ahead of it. In the name of Jesus, God has prophesied of this church. We are going to reach this community. We see this place filled with disciples of Jesus. We see this place being able to bring influence and change and light and hope to those who need it. We see this place as a place where people can thrive and grow in God and come to know the love of Jesus. We get to be part of that, and I'm excited for where God's taking us. So being part of building God's kingdom, whether that's the broader God's kingdom or, making that even more specific in breakthrough story, what are some ways that you can chase the vision? There are so many great truths as to things that you can do to go after a vision. But as I was praying, just three things came to my heart, and I'm just going to go through them quickly. To chase and to say, yes, that is me. I've made the choice. My turning point, I want to run. I want to run after this vision. I want to be part of the story. I want to do this. What are three things we can do? Number one, believe. Believe. I'm going to go through scriptures quite quickly. So join me if you can. And I apologize in advance. God's work, I've been speaking to me a lot through Luke lately. So a lot of them might end up being from Luke because I've just been so blessed and I can't seem to get away from it at the moment. It's just jumping alive in my heart. In Luke 1, verse 45, this is speaking to Mary. Mary has been prophesied to be the mother of Jesus, supernaturally give birth to the Savior, a virgin birth. Chapter 1, verse 45, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. I'm going to read that again. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Young's literal translation says, happy is she who did believe, for there shall be a completion to the things spoken to her from the Lord. For there shall be a completion because she did believe. As I was studying this, it just went alive in my heart. And there is such a direct correlation. I wrote in my Bible, blessing follows faith. Because there is a direct correlation between faith and believing and seeing the fulfillment of a word. I know there are times that God prophesies and it's prophesied in a way that it's like, this is going to happen and I'm foretelling it. But then there's also promises where God promises something and there's a requirement of faith and belief to unlock that promise from seeing its completion and its fruition. I know there are other things involved, but believing is a key element from a promise coming into completion. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. The blessing followed the belief. The blessing followed the choice to believe and have faith that God would do what he said, that God would fulfill his promise. So in, when we're talking about vision and saying, God, I want to run with this vision, one thing, one key is to believe in the promise, to believe what God has said. And you say, yes, I know. But I'm saying, do you believe? Do you believe? When I was reading this scripture, there was something that I had been believing for a long time, and I felt it jump in my heart. God said, do you believe? And I said, yes, of course. He said, no, do you believe? And it shook me because I said, oh, you know what? I'm saying I believe, but in my heart, I'm, you know, I've still got doubt. And he says, do you believe? At just simplest form, do you believe what the Lord has said? Do you believe what the Lord has said? And I said, yes, Lord, and I just spent time repenting and getting my heart before him and saying, Lord, at its simplest way, I believe. I believe what you have promised. I believe it. I believe it. And you have to keep coming back to that place. You know, the next day, I had to come back and say, God, doubt tries to come, but I believe. I believe what you have promised. So chasing after the vision, number one key is to believe. To believe, to mix your faith with what God has promised. To say, God, I believe it. And I truly believe it. I truly have the faith that you will fulfill what it promised. You know, I won't read it, but in Luke 7:9, it was talking about when somebody came with faith. And it said, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. When he heard the faith, he was amazed. And he turned to the crowd following him. And he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. You know, actually, I'm just so you can get the context. I'll read the scriptures for it. Chapter 7. But just before they arrived at the house, an officer sent friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home. I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from you, from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, and they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd who was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. Thank you, Jesus. But the faith excited Jesus. The faith was what got his attention. It was like, I can just imagine Jesus, there's hundreds of people following him, and he said, yes, this is it. Did you all hear that? Faith, this is what excites me. The faith excited Jesus. Simple faith that said, your word is true. Your word will come to pass. Your word carries authority. The faith excited Jesus. It was like he was saying, yes, I can work with this. I can work with this faith. So faith, believing. So to chase after vision, number one, we believe. We believe what God has said. What's another way that you say, I want to be part of the vision. I want to be part of the story. I want to run with it. I'm hungry to run with it. What can I do? Number two is you can pray. You can pray. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. I am so passionate about the power of prayer, and I believe so wholeheartedly you could preach for a whole year on it. But you know, every good thing in the Bible proceeded with prayer. Prayer was such a key element. When you look at what God has done in this world, you will so often or always see before this great miracle, before what happened, there was somebody praying. There was intercession happening in the spirit, preparing the way. There was prayer preceding miracles, preceding breakthroughs. You know, I remember so clearly when I was a teenager and I was just coming to understand and getting involved in things. And we had just had a hunger to start a prayer meeting. So we started praying at church on Sunday mornings. And we started seeing things in our spirit about our Sunday mornings. And we started praying for it. Things that seemed wild. Like, oh, you know, we're praying for this open heaven, for this glory. And was like, it seemed so far off, but we were praying for it because we saw it in our spirit and we started praying for it. I remember maybe it was 4, 5, 6 weeks later, we were on a Sunday morning and we started seeing the things happen in our meeting that we had prayed for weeks before. And I remember people came to me and they were saying, that was amazing. That came out of nowhere. And I was so excited because I was like, no, that wasn't out of nowhere. That was prayer. That people have been praying and interceding for that. God showed us something in the spirit and people were praying for that to happen. What we just saw wasn't just a fluke. That was preceded by prayer. Prayer opened the door for God to be able to move. Prayer is so key. You know, in Luke 5 again, sorry, just staying in Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. So Jesus, he started his ministry. He's doing amazing work. He's healing the sick. He's been chased after by people for healing, to hear the word. And then I'll start with verse 15, Luke 5, verse 15. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He often, in the midst of all the ministry, he would withdraw to pray. So all the miracles that you saw Jesus doing, he would withdraw and pray for it. He went in, he would spend time praying and removing himself and saying, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and intercede for this. And I love that it says he withdrew to the wilderness, a place where there was no distractions, a place he couldn't be reached, a place that removed him from all the surroundings to say, I'm just here with my Father and I am going to pray and do some serious kingdom business. You know, as I was doing that, you know, we live in the 21st century and you might hear the word busy come up a lot in your life. You know, sometimes it's a fun thing just to go throughout a day and count how many times people have used the word busy, you know, when they're talking to you. How's your day? Busy. How's your day? Oh, busy, 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 busy. And it's true because we live in a culture that is obsessed with busy, that is obsessed with doing, accomplishing things, you know. And I, you know, live a full life. I feel at times, oh, it's just busy and I feel full and like there is just no time. And, you know, you feel busy. And as I was reading this and it said Jesus withdrew to the wilderness to prayer, and I just, you know, you have that feeling, oh, that would, to have the time to withdraw and pray. And you very quickly get reminded by the Holy Spirit that I've just put myself above Jesus's work. Oh, Jesus, if only you had an as important job as I had. Whew, if you had the job I had, you wouldn't have been able to find the time to withdraw and pray. You had the luxury of finding time to withdraw and pray. Some of us have such important jobs that it's, you know, it's just, if I could, I would, you know. And like, I didn't say it all that, but you know, even in that split moment of you just sort of feeling that, that's at its core, that's the pride, that's what you're actually saying. What you're actually saying is my job is harder than Jesus's. My life is more busy than Jesus's, so I don't have the luxury to find time to withdraw and pray. I'm sorry, but if anyone was had the most important mission and job on the world, I believe it was Jesus. If anyone had could have felt the pressure of the importance of his role, it was Jesus. It just said that vast crowds were coming to heal the sick. Can you imagine being like, I'm going to withdraw and pray today and opening the door and there's 200 people on your doorstep waiting for prayer. You know, can you imagine every day this was coming. There was important things, people to be healed, people wanting to hear about the gospel were coming to Jesus. But he took time to withdraw and pray and say, because he knew without that, the ministry, the miracles couldn't keep happening, because then the prayer and withdrawing to spend time with his Father and pray and get wisdom was so key. You know, it talks about later earlier in the book of Luke, where he was picking his 12 disciples. Just in a few verses before that, it said he withdrew to pray. He came back and he picked his 12 apostles. And I'm like, that's amazing. He withdrew, he sought wisdom, he prayed to get the wisdom of the Lord to come back and make this amazing, important decision as to his 12 apostles, you know, to make this important decision. He withdrew to pray. So I want to encourage us. A way to run and be a part of the story, to run with the vision, is to pray, to intercede. Now, I know, like I said before, we live in a life that is busy, and I'm not condemning you, and I'm not saying you need to find more time. I'm saying I'm right there with you, but Jesus found a way to make time So we've got to find a way to make time. Our pastor Christine preached an amazing sermon a few years ago about seasons and saying, you know, don't compare your season with someone else's season. And basically the season of life you're in, God will show you ways that you can pray in your season of life. If you've got a two-year-old, don't tell your two-year-old, I'm withdrawing for a few hours to pray, look after yourself. You know, that that's going against a lot of other scripture, you know. I'm saying, in whatever season of life you're in, say, Holy Spirit, I'm hungry to pray, so there must be a way for me to do this, so you can show me. We can get creative. I can pray while I'm on the go. You know, kids, while we're all tidying up, we're going to be praying while we're tidying up the house, everyone. You know, you can say, you know what, we're going to go for a walk and I'm going to pray. Kids, we're all going to come together. We're going to pray while we walk. We're going to do something. It might not look the exact same. In fact, your situation will look totally different to everyone else's situation. But the core is to say, we want to take this on and pray. Find a way. Find a way. You know, I was talking to a friend early this week and we were talking about how, you know, I just feel God's calling me to spend more time in prayer. We'd both been feeling that. But we said, we're trying, and we said, well, we need to keep each other accountable. How can we help each other? How can we help each other do this? And I want to encourage life groups. Help each other. Help each other find time to pray. Help each other keep accountable. Say, you know what? Saturday morning, let's go for a walk. 1 hour every Saturday morning. And when we go on that walk, all we're going to do is pray for our church. Pray for the vision of breakthrough. Pray for where God is taking this church. That's what we're going to do. Let's get together. Anyone who can make it, we're going to do this. Help each other. Encourage each other. Chat to each other during the week saying, God's showing me this. God's doing this. As a life group, say, how can we keep each other accountable and help each other find spaces and ways to pray, to intercede for what God is doing. You know, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So to be a part of the story, to run with the story and say, God, I'm in. I want to be part of it. Number one, believe. Number two, pray. And number three, act. Get ready. Act. What can you do to act? You know, in John 21, oh, there we go, we're going away from Luke. In John 21, I'll just run there really, really quickly. In John 21, verse 1, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that, he put on his tunic, jumped in the water, and headed to the shore. The other stayed with the boat, pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. And it goes on there. But it says, in verse 6, he said, throw out your net on the other side of the boat, and you'll get some fish. Throw out the net on the other side of the boat. I spoke about this in offering a number of months ago. You know, I heard a preacher once say, Jesus could have just supernaturally filled that net with fish. You know, he's God. He's the Son of God. God could have just supernaturally filled that fish, but he didn't. He told them to do something. He said, cast your net out on the other side. He gave them an act to do, to cast your net out and to the other side and see the fish. And they saw the miracle come. You know, it talks in so many other times. In 1 Kings, there's, you know, the widow who's got her last bit of oil, and God said to go and to use the last bit of oil, and then if you did that, she would have never-ending oil. Again, God could have supernaturally filled the oil, but first she had to act. She had to do something. You know, feeding the 5,000, Jesus said, go and get the fish and loaves and bring them to him. The healing of the lame man, Peter said, now take up your mat and walk. Take up your mat. Now get up and walk. You know, Matthew 16 says, take up your cross and follow me. Bringing the kingdom of God is not about sitting back and just letting God do things. It's about him using you and working through you and letting his miraculous power work through you. So there is an action that takes place when you're believing for God to do something. When you've got a vision, you just don't say, God, give me a call when it's there. He says, get up, go, and you'll see it fulfilled through you. You'll see me work through you, through others. It's about getting up and being part of it and going. You know, there's a famous song that says, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, but I think, I don't know if I've heard this or I've just talked about it, but it's not as much saying, Jesus, take the wheel. It's saying, Jesus, I'm driving, give me directions. It's saying, God, you know, I'm not just saying, whew, whatever, God, I'm just que sera, sera, I'm giving up control. It's saying, no, God, you're calling me to go and to do things, but you work through me. You minister through me. I'm only going where you're telling me to go. I'm only doing what you're telling me to do. If you say stop, I'm stopping. If you say go, I'm going. You know, Paul, there's a story where he didn't know where to go, but he just felt to go. So he just started going, and the Holy Spirit was showing him, directing him as he went. He would show him in visions and dreams. He would go somewhere, God would. The Holy Spirit said, not there. He said, okay, where are we going? We're going over here. No, not here, not here. Oh, here, here it is. Here's the place I'm meant to be. But he had to be going and acting and doing. So church, to be part of the story, to be part of what God's doing, to be part of bringing God's kingdom. Number one, we believe the word. You believe it. Number two, you pray and you intercede. But number three, act. Say, God, what are you calling me to do? If breakthrough is where God has called you, there is something that you can do. That does not look the same for everyone else. People are in all different stages of life. That does not look the same for everyone, but there is something that you can do. There is something you can do. Maybe it's saying, I'm going to sow time of prayer. Maybe it's saying, I'm, you know, Pastor Peter's turning point, talking about your mouth and the mouth being the rudder. And you're saying, what God's calling me to do is to watch my mouth when it comes to talking about church. And I'm going to speak only words of faith over my church. And God's calling me to just speak by faith words over the church's future. Maybe it's to say, you know what, God, I want to be part of the ministry. I want to be part of doing something. Oh, God's put this particular ministry in my heart. Oh, you know, prison ministry has been on my heart for months, for years. And I'm just waiting for somebody to take up the call. And God's saying, I've been trying to get you to get up and do it because you're the one I'm putting the call on. Whatever it might be, whatever action, it'll look different for everybody, but there will be something that you can do. You know, Brooke, do you want to start getting ready to come up? But I want to finish with this story. You know, again, not a whoo, how great am I story. It's one of those stories where the Lord corrected me. And we were praying at the start of this year. This is the year of the lampstand. And we were praying for, you know, to be the lampstand and to bring Jesus to this community. And we were praying and we were praying and we said, oh, Lord, bring people in. We're praying, we're praying. We were on our knees just praying. My heart was so compassionate and just full for the people in this community and say, Lord, bring them here. Bring them to the light. Bring them to the lamp. Bring them to Jesus. Then I started praying, Lord, give the people in our church boldness to ask people to come to church. Give our people, we're going through the seats and I'm praying, Lord, give this person boldness to ask people in their life to come to know Jesus. Bring this person boldness to invite people in their life to God. And as I'm praying and I felt pretty spiritual, the Lord said, what about you? And I said, no, we're praying for boldness for them. I'm here saying, Lord, boldness, boldness for Cam, boldness. Thank you, Lord, boldness for them, boldness, boldness for them to bring in. The Lord said, what about you? And I was like, no, that's not what I do. I'm on the praying side of this. I'm not called to that side. I'm on the side that just prays. I'm on the side that prays, and there are other people in our life who are great at that, and they go and ask, and they're the bold, and they tell people about Jesus, and I pray for them here. That's my role. And the Lord was giving me quite heavy instruction that was not my role. That was what I like to call an excuse, because that side seemed scary and seemed a bit uncomfortable. That side was outside of my comfort zone. That side was completely outside of what I was comfortable doing. But he said, no. If you truly believe that that's what breakthrough is called to do, he said, you're meant to be out on this side and you need to be part of it. You need to be the one bringing and telling people about Jesus. You need to be one who's willing to tell somebody about Jesus and invite them. And you need to be willing to invite someone to church. And I felt so convicted, but I said, Lord, this is so hard. You know, this goes against everything my natural self does. But he's, you know, I just said, Lord, give me boldness. And he said, do it right now, right now, right now, before I could stop. So in the prayer meeting, I stopped. I got out my phone. There was somebody he'd put on my heart that I knew that I should have been invited to church a long time ago, and I hadn't. And he said, you send it right now, right now. You know, my husband came to me, came to me just like a minute later. He said, you know, this person in our life, he said, I think God's telling us to invite them to church. I'm like, I know. He's been dealing with me. I know. I know. And he said, I know. And it was such a confirmation. So we said, let's send it right now. Let's send a text right now and invite them to church. So we sent that and we said, we're just, you know, we're going to invite. And that broke something. And then after that message, I could have just gone back. But it was like, nope, I'm not going to. Next time I see someone, I said, you know what? Have you ever heard about Jesus? You know, Here's a card. If you want to know more about Jesus, here's a way to find out about Jesus, because I've got this great gift. I've got the good news. How can I keep it to myself? How can I keep it to myself for the sake of my you know, appearance and my reputation? I've got the good news to spread the good news. And the Lord said, your act is to actually be part of it. So church, we're hungry. We're hungry to be part of the story. So number one, we believe. Faith is so key to seeing the fulfillment happen. Number two, we pray. We intercede. We've got an amazing prayer team. They intercede so powerfully everywhere. You can join our prayer team. You can come be part of the prayer team. You can pray within your life groups. Pray in your grow teams. Pray wherever you are. Pray, intercede, take this and say, I'm going to pray for God, for what God's doing, and call this church to. And number three, we act. We say, God, what is God calling you to do? It'll look different for everybody else, but what is God calling you to do? And that thing that's niggling, that's probably it. You know, that thing that you're trying to squash down and say, can she shut up already so we can move on, because I want this voice to stop? That's probably it. That's probably what God's just nudging and say, this is what I'm calling you to do. And like I said, we do it within. Don't come to pastor and say, guess what, in Breakthrough's name, I just did all this stuff. You come and you do it within, you know, you do within order, and you say, hey, God, I believe in this. God, can we go and do this? And our pastors would be like, yes, we've been praying for this for years. Yes, yes, yes. You know, I got a text earlier this week from somebody, and they said, look, we've just been praying, and we feel God's, you know, God's put this ministry in our heart. Would this fit within the Breakthrough's vision? And I just almost started crying. I said, we have been praying and praying for this for years, and praying that God would put this on somebody's heart or bring somebody to Breakthrough. It's like, you know, this is where their calling is, because we've prayed for this. This is so exciting, so exciting. Yes, yes, yes. We can act. And we can be part of what God is doing.